Welcome to Harmony Primitive Baptist Church. This is Elder Neil Phelan, Jr. preaching from regular Sunday morning services.
Thank you, Brother Dan. I appreciate your message. Certainly, what's going on around us today should cause us all to do some self-examination and be praying about our country and the leaders of our country to make the decisions that would be best for all of us, as the Apostle encouraged us to do, that we could lead a peaceable life. And we want to be able to come back to God's house and meet with His people like we have today with a few people. But we're hoping that we'll be able to meet with everybody soon and see everybody's face and just be able to rejoice with one another once again. If you have your Bibles this morning, I'd like to turn to the Gospel of John. We're going to read the first 9 verses. I'm going to title my message today, A Little Hope. A little hope. Because sometimes, if you're like me, on certain things in your life, you don't have a lot of hope. But you might have a little hope. And you find that sometimes if you just got a little hope, that can get you through. So let's read these verses. After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having 5 porches. In these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first, after the troubling of the water, stepped in was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. And a certain man was there which had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he said unto him, Wilt thou be made whole? The impotent man answered him, Sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me into the pool, but while I am coming, another steppeth down before me. Jesus saith unto him, Rise, take up thy bed, and walk. And immediately the man was made whole, took up his bed, and walked, and on the same day was the Sabbath. You'll find verse 1 says, After this, and that means it was after the former miracle that Jesus had just performed, which had been the second miracle, when Jesus had healed the nobleman's son. The nobleman had come to Jesus asking that his son would be healed, and Jesus said, Go back home, your son is whole. And the nobleman believed him and immediately started back to his home, and on his way back home he met his servants who were excited to come and tell him that his son had been healed. And the nobleman asked the servants, Well, what hour was my son healed? And they told him, and he knew that it was at the very moment that Jesus had told him, Your son is healed. That was the second miracle in Galilee, and this one we're about to talk about this morning is the third miracle that Jesus had performed. Now, when you look at the miracles of Jesus Christ, they're all different. And I believe one of the reasons that they're all different and the way Jesus heals them is different is because he wanted everybody to know that it was not magic. You know, when you see somebody perform magic, they usually do the same thing over and over again, say the same words, pronounce the same words, go through the same ritual. But Jesus didn't do that. He wanted everybody to know that what he did was from God. It wasn't some miracle or something that man could do. And of course, if it had been something like that, one of the popular writers of the day would have come out with a book, How to Heal Leprosy. And they would have said, do this that Jesus did, and you can heal leprosy. And you can imagine how that would have gone. But Jesus Christ healed people in many ways. And this is a different problem that this man has. And so we know that whether it was a withered hand or a person that was smitten with leprosy or had blindness, whatever the problem was, we never find Jesus unable to take care of the problem. And so that tells us this morning that whatever trial or problem that we're going through in our lives, it gives us this encouragement to know that Jesus Christ can take care of the problem. And that gives us a little hope, doesn't it? when we read of the miracles that Jesus Christ performed. Even though we don't know what he may do in the future, it does give us a little bit of hope that he will help us with whatever we're going through. So whatever problem you're going through this morning in your life, whatever trial it is, even though it may seem somewhat hopeless to you, let us remember it's never hopeless. If we just have a little hope, that it can give us the strength and the encouragement that we need to go on in our lives and do the things that we need to do, perform the things that we need to perform, and find our way back to the Lord's house. You know, a little bit of hope is just like faith. Remember what Jesus said about faith? If you have faith as a grain of a mustard seed, and that was the smallest of seeds Jesus said, then you can move a mountain. Well, faith, according to Hebrews 11 and 1, faith is a substance of things hoped for. So if you got just a little bit of hope, it's amazing how strong that God's people can be if they just have a little bit of hope to get through some of the greatest trials in our lives. And we find, I believe, that that's what this man has, is just a little bit of hope. And I'm going to show you that in just a moment. But let's go to the place where the miracle occurred. It's called Bethesda. It's a pool of water that has five porches around it. And Bethesda means house of kindness. But if you look up the definition of the word in a concordance, it also carries with it the thought of a family. So it's the house of kindness with the thought of a family. And I thought to myself, what a beautiful picture of God's house, his church, his people, his family, when we come together to meet. And at a certain season unknown to them, an angel would come down and trouble the water. And whoever stepped into the pool first would be healed of whatever infirmity that they had. Now, here we've got this man here, and he's been coming here for a long time. He's had the infirmity for 38 years. And it's so true that many times in our own personal experience, we have some crosses and some problems and troubles that we go through that go on for a long time. Most of you probably have some trials that you've gone through in your experience, and they didn't last a long time. Some of them may have lasted a few months, maybe a week or two. But there are some trials that we go through in our lives, and we keep praying about them. We keep going back to the pool. We keep going back and hoping, and we keep going back over and over and over again, and it seems that we get no answer, that nothing's happening. Well, I want to encourage you today to keep going back, because that's what this man did. For a long time, he kept going back. And can you imagine what it must have taken this man to get there? It says from his own confession that as soon as the waters were troubled, that he couldn't step down into the water. And that tells me a lot about his condition, is it's something about being crippled. And we don't know exactly what it was, but he was unable to get down into the water. And if that was the case, you can imagine how much difficulty it was for him to get to the house of kindness. But yet, he made the effort to get there. Marilyn was telling me this morning about a man that was her customer, and he was talking about their church going through the things that we're going through right now and how they were at first doing Facebook like we're doing right now. And so they were deciding that they would have a service in the parking lot, and the man said at first he thought, well, what difference does it make? We can just put it over the camera like this and people can sit at home and watch the message. Why would we want to do it in the parking lot? And he said suddenly it occurred to him that by coming to God's house and sitting in a parking lot, that's just one more little effort that we can make for the Lord Jesus Christ, because he's done so much for us. And he wanted to make that effort because he loved the Lord, and he wanted to show the Lord by some way how much that he loved him and appreciated him. And so they started having the services in their parking lot. So this man somehow, some way, gets to this pool, and he's laying on this, if you read the story that we've read here, that he's laying on this little cot that he brings with him every day. A little pad probably is all that he had. I don't know how he got there, whether friends brought him there. And it's a wonderful thing when we have a problem in our lives to see friends that are willing to help us. But somehow he gets there for this long length of time and keeps coming back. And he keeps hoping, against hope you might say, that somehow he is going to get into this water. And just imagine the many times that he's already seen other people step down into this water. You know, he knows the routine. He's seen other people healed. And he even tells Jesus, he said, I come here, and before I can get down into the water, somebody else steps down into the water before me. So he knows that there is healing there. And my friends, I want you to know there's healing in God's house. There are blessings to be found and miracles to be found in the house of God. And so here is this man, and he keeps coming back. And to me, it's kind of a beautiful picture of continually coming back to God's house, looking for a miracle with a little bit of hope and continuing to pray that God is going to answer his message. And he's been doing this for quite some time. And he has this little bit of hope. And you know, his little hope is found in his own language. Notice what he says when he speaks back to Jesus. He says, "Sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me into the pool. But while I am coming, another steppeth down before me." How discouraging that must have been for him to see somebody else step down before him. Perhaps when he was there, he saw the water troubled first. Maybe everybody else was, you know, somewhat asleep or something. But when he was trying to crawl over there to get to the edge of the pool, somebody stepped down right before him and received the miracle before he could get it. But yet, I just want to make this point, is that he had a little hope, didn't he? Even though it seems impossible for him, when he comes there, it seemed impossible that he could step down into the water. He still had just enough hope to bring him back to this place that maybe, just maybe, somehow he could crawl over to the edge of that water before somebody else stepped in. And my friends, that is the power of just a little bit of hope. Just a little hope can bring us back to that place where finally Jesus makes his appearance and he answers our prayer. Now, I don't know about you, but there are some things in my personal experience that I have a great hope about. I have a great hope that Jesus Christ is coming back one day. I don't doubt that. Amen. There's not a day in my life that I don't think, well, I wonder if Jesus is going to come back. I know he's coming back. I don't know when it's going to be, but I know he's coming back. And I don't have any problem believing that there is a heaven. I don't have any problem believing that God's redeemed family live there, that I've got loved ones, family, that are with Jesus Christ in glory right now. I don't have any problem with that. There's a lot of things that I have no problem with concerning my hope. But I can confess to you, there's a lot of things in my personal experience right now that I just got a little bit of hope about. I pray about them every day, and I don't have a lot of hope. But I got a little bit of hope. I got just enough hope that I can keep crawling back to Bethesda. And I can keep asking the Lord if he'll heal me. Yes. Hear me and heal. Yes. And hear my prayer. And that's been just enough. It's kind of like I feel like sometimes in my life I'm hanging on by this thread. That little thread of prayer or faith or whatever it is. To get me back to God's house. To where I can one more time come before the throne of God. And ask him to bless me again. And I think that's an experience that a lot of God's people have in their own personal lives. There's some great hope they have, but there's some little hope that we have. Little hope's a real thing. I mean, it's not like somebody, we may have some critics out there right now saying, well, you know, Brother Sonny, hope's hope. If you got hope, it's just hope. No, there's such a thing as little hope, because I experience little hope. I like that song we sing sometimes, Mixtures of Joy and Sorrow. Daily do pass through. And one of the verses in that song is, sometimes I'm full of doubting, I think I have no grace. Sometimes I'm full of praising when Christ reveals his face. Sometimes my hope's so little, I think I'll throw it by. And sometimes it seems sufficient if I were called to die. So even our song expresses the fact that sometimes we just have a little bit of hope, but yet sometimes our hope is great. But though it's little, it does so far get me by. And you know, we all say that so far because we wonder about tomorrow, don't we? We say, well, I just pray I have enough hope for tomorrow to get me through this particular trial that I'm going through. You know, sometimes people, God's people, can become hopeless creatures. And I believe that's the reason that we see sometimes a person may take their own life. I've always said that anybody that takes their own life has become hopeless. They've come to that point in their life that they feel like that there's no way that they can have another good day in their life. They see no blessings in front of them. They see no hope of anything good ever happening again. And so they take their lives. And I believe sometimes that's God's people. I've heard some people with other faiths say that if a person takes their life, that's murder. They can't possibly be a child of God. Well, I disagree with that. You know, of all the people that Satan wants to make hopeless, who is that person? It's one of God's children. You know, I think many times it is God's children. Satan preys upon them, and he's preying upon you right now if your hope's little, and he's preying upon me. I know that Satan does not want me to have hope. He wants me to give up. He wants me to be like Job's wife when she said, curse God and die. But Job, I love how faithful he was. He said, you know, shall we see good and not evil of the Lord? He said, the Lord gives, the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Job was a man that remembered the blessings that God had given him in his life, even in the midst of having such little hope. And if you read the narrative of Job, you can find in the very beginning, he had little hope. He said, my hope has perished in one place. But when God appeared to him out of the whirlwind, we see his hope began to grow strong again. And he began to think upon God. He said, and then finally he said, God can do anything. And he finally realized, oh yeah, by the way, even though I've lost everything, God can do anything, which means if he wants to bring them back, he can. You know, and we get to that place in our lives sometimes with our hope that we forget God can do anything. You know, I found a lot of places to strengthen my hope. One of them is at Bethesda, God's house. I don't know where you are today in your experience, whoever's watching this, but I want to encourage you to come to Bethesda, to God's house, to this place of kindness. Because it's a place where my hope has been strengthened so many times in my life. Sometimes my hope is so little, I feel like I'm going to crawl in those back doors. And there's been a few times I've come in and I thought, I've got to preach today. How am I going to encourage anybody else? I'm the person that needs to be encouraged myself today. I need some hope if I'm going to give somebody else some hope. But you know, I find after I get here and God's people start singing some of these songs, even the songs themselves start instilling some hope in my soul. You know, I remember we sang a song not too long ago. I asked for it. I needed to hear it. Jesus, lover of my soul, let me to thy bosom fly. Yes, Jesus, let me fly into your bosom today that I might receive some hope. And I can tell you, when I die, when you write my epitaph upon my headstone, that's what I want. Jesus, lover of my soul, let me to your bosom fly. And I pray that he will, and I have hope that he will. I have a great hope in that he'll do that. But coming to God's house, hearing the singing, seeing the faces of God's people gives me hope. And I know sometimes people don't feel like coming to church, but I want to tell you, when you get here and I see you, you give me hope. Yes. These faces right here give me hope. Everybody that walks in that door just gives me a little more increment of hope every time one other person walks in those doors. It's kind of like an army. And you're facing the enemy. And you're coming to this place and your enemy's about to assail you. And you look around and where's the rest of the army? And you lose some hope. But when you come to God's house and you see God's people come in with a smile on their face and they're ready to worship King Jesus, my friends, that gives hope to every one of us when we come to God's house. And every one of us and every one of you are important to come to God's house. So I think a lot of times the Lord's people, they get hopeless. They lose hope. And sometimes they're looking to the wrong place for their hope. I don't know how many are watching right now, but I bet you there's some of you that are watching right now that haven't been to church for a long time. Some of you may have been seeking some strength for your hope in the wrong places. There's nothing wrong with enjoying the things around us, the blessings that we have, the things God has given us. But when we begin to look to those things outside of God's house to strengthen our hope and to give us peace in our own soul, we're playing with fool's gold. You're not going to get it. And I believe that's the reason, as I said earlier, so many people are without hope. It's because they're looking for their hope, their faith, their strength in something else. God is not going to allow his people to receive the strength and the hope from some other source. He is a jealous God. And he's only going to let us receive it from him and from his house and from his people and from his dwelling with us in his house. So I encourage every one of you, whoever you may be watching this, to come to Bethesda, the house of healing, and be with God and his people and find some hope. Get your blanket. Crawl back to the pool with me. And let's linger there until we see the troubling of the water again. And hopefully we'll get in there and receive a blessing from the Lord. So a little hope is so powerful for us in our lives. I love the scripture that the apostle wrote in the book of Romans, and Paul, I believe, knew that people needed a lot of hope. He says, "Now the God of hope fill you with peace," or with joy and peace in believing, "that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost." Not only can we just have hope, we can abound in it. We can find that it's something that we can not just have a little bit of, but it can be strengthened. And we can abound in this presence of God through the power of the Holy Spirit. And I can tell you, as I said earlier, that Holy Spirit is not going to be found in the things of this world, in the toys and trinkets that we like to play with. It's only found in the presence of God and in His house and with His people. And I pray that for every one of you today, whoever you are that's watching this message, that you can be like this man and find your strength in the Lord Jesus Christ. Sometimes the Lord comes early in our trial, and sometimes our trial lingers, as I said. This man had been in this condition for 38 years. I was thinking about a trial the other day that we're going through, and I thought, you know, the Lord has a purpose for this. You know, if you can get your mind thinking right when you're going through a trial, the Lord has a purpose for this. This trial is to humble me. It's to keep me in the place where God wants me. And I find that a lot of times in my experience, I don't want to be where God wants me. I want to be where I want to be. I want to be, you know, like I want to be all the time. But the Lord knows better where I need to be. And I can look back in my experience when I've gone through some sore trials and some long trials. And at the time I was going through them, I thought, Lord, will this ever end? Will this prayer ever be answered? Is this my life? I mean, I'd rather than going through this trial right now and having to be where I got to be right now and do the things I got to do right now, I want to be over there doing that. I remember one time we were going and doing something, and as I was having to do something I didn't want to do in this deer season, I was thinking, you know, I wish I could be deer hunting like everybody else. I wish I could be doing what I want to do. And now I look back in that experience, and you know what? I would rather have been where I was in that trial than deer hunting. Because I want to tell you, that trial that I was going through brought me closer to the Lord Jesus Christ than deer hunting would have ever done. It was a blessing in my life, and it was used to mold me. Now, I'm not molded yet. The Lord's still doing some molding with me, but I know that when I look back on that, it was precious. And even though I didn't feel like the Lord was with me at that time, I look back and I know more now that He was with me than I knew then. And what a blessing it was when I was going through the trial. Now we've seen this little hope and how important it is for us that when we have just a little bit of hope, we can just keep coming back and praying and hoping something good will happen from it. But we've got to get a few doctrinal lessons out of this message today, because every miracle that God performs, we learn a little bit about God. And we were able to learn some doctrinal things about Him. You remember even Jesus Christ Himself, when He preached in the synagogue, He went into the synagogue one time and preached. And He was preaching to the Jews, and He told them about this miracle that I think it was Elijah had performed, and there were many widows in Sarepta. But He didn't heal any of the Jewish widows. He healed a woman that was, I think she was a Samaritan, wasn't she? She wasn't a Jew. And Jesus is making this point, and that is that God has people that He loves that are not Jews, and that God is sovereign, and that God is a God of choice concerning who He wants to heal and who He wants to save and what He does. And when He got through preaching the message, the people were mad at Him, and they went out to throw Him over the brow of the cliff. And that was in God's house. These were God's people, supposedly. And the point I'm making is that when we look at the miracles, there's a lot of doctrinal things we can learn about the miracles. So let's look at this one today and see what we can find about it. One of the things that we learn about this miracle is what total depravity is. The scriptures use this word when they're talking about this man, that he's an impotent man. That means that he is without strength. That's what it means, strengthlessness. The man was unable to help himself, wasn't he? I mean, he could not get to the water. He said, no man will help me. And my friends, when it comes to your salvation, you can't help yourself. And there ain't no man that can help you. The only one that can help you is the Lord Jesus Christ. For what can a dead man do? If we're dead in trespasses and in sins, we can't do anything. So we are depraved, bankrupt, guilty sinners until the Lord Jesus Christ appears and imparts spiritual life into us. There's nothing that we can do to save ourselves. Salvation must be by God's grace. So this man is a beautiful picture of our own personal depravity. Another thing it is a picture of unconditional election.
That's right.
Jesus Christ appears out of nowhere. We don't understand why he healed this man. We don't read anything about this man having any merit by which Jesus said, well, you know, that man over there, he's the best man here. And just look at the good things he's done. Jesus Christ never said anything about him that was good. And there are some places, by the way, in the Bible that talks about some good places. And I know there's none good but God, but there are some what we would call pretty good people. Barnabas was if you read Acts 11:24, it says Barnabas was a good man and full of the Holy Ghost and faith. I remember Cornelius, he was a devout man. So there's some good things that we read in the Bible about some people, but I don't read anything about this man. I'm not saying he was a bad man. I don't know what kind of man he was, but I know this, Jesus didn't heal everybody there, did he? How many did he heal? He healed one person. And this is a pool with five porches. Jesus Christ is sovereign in the way he answers our prayers. He's sovereign in who he heals, and he's sovereign concerning those in whom he died for. And I can tell you who he died for. He died for everyone that the Father gave him in the covenant of grace. And every one of those will see God in glory. But we see a beautiful picture here of God's election and his love. And I can tell you, I believe this man must have been one of God's children, because I don't think Jesus Christ goes around healing people that don't belong to him. These are blessings reserved for the family of God. And when Jesus Christ heals somebody and answers our prayers, it's reserved for you as one of his children. And so this man received this blessing out of nowhere. And the third thing that we see is what we usually refer to as limited atonement. Limited atonement or particular redemption. And I just told you that Jesus didn't heal everybody there. Well, that's what we believe in limited atonement, that the atonement is limited to those that the Father gave to Jesus Christ. And this is a beautiful picture of it here, in the fact that Jesus could have healed everybody, couldn't he? I mean, if Jesus would have wanted to heal everybody on that day, he could have done it. The man didn't even have to step down into the water, by the way. And he never did. When Jesus healed him, he said, take up your couch and walk, and he went home. So the man never stepped into the water, didn't have to.
Amen.
He didn't have to do any works, right? You know, if we think our prayers and the prayers to our hope is based upon our works, I can tell you, you're working for nothing. You know, we need to work because we love the Lord Jesus Christ. I found myself doing that one time. And I kept thinking, if I can just be good enough, the Lord will answer this prayer. If I can just, and so I try to be good for a long, and I'm a preacher. And so I should have known better. And so I kept trying to be good, and I found out, well, that didn't help any. So I didn't turn around and say, well, I'll start doing bad now. But on the other hand, I came to this conclusion that the Lord is not going to answer this prayer based upon how good I can be. I may as well enjoy my life because I know I'm a sinner. I can't be perfect. I can work on it. And so I'm still working on that, by the way. But listen, our prayers are not going to be answered by how good we can get. I know some people may believe that, but this man, we don't see him doing any working to get his prayer answered or his hope confirmed. The answer to his hope, which he had been hoping for 38 years that he would be healed, Jesus came in his own time and his own goodwill. Well, another thing that I believe this teaches us is about God's irresistible grace. Jesus didn't ask this man to participate in this healing. He didn't say, if you'll stand up and click your heels three times, like Dorothy did to make it out of Oz back to Kansas, you can have the blessing. Jesus healed this man immediately. And that's the way Jesus works in the heart of the sinner. When we are born again, Jesus doesn't ask us to be born again. It's a sovereign work of Jesus Christ through the Holy Spirit, and we're born again immediately. Amen. This is what we refer to as immediate Holy Spirit regeneration, when we are born from above and we become a new creature in Christ Jesus. So this is irresistible. God's work to this man was irresistible. The man didn't turn it down. He didn't ask to receive it. He didn't ask to accept it. Jesus Christ just did it on the spot, and the man was healed. The only thing the man could say is, "Sir, I have nobody to put me into the water." And that's all the man said. And Jesus said, "Rise, take up thy bed and walk." That's irresistible grace, my friends. Jesus gave it to him, and he didn't resist it, couldn't resist it. He just did it. And I'll tell you one thing. When somebody's born of God's Spirit, nobody turns around and says, "Lord, I wish you hadn't done that." You know, and concerning this man, when it was irresistible and the Lord healed this man against his own will, well, of course, we know he wanted it done, but he didn't have any will to have it done. This man didn't say, "Well, Jesus, I wish you hadn't done that." It was irresistible. God did it by his own work. And finally, I love the thought of the preservation of the saints, that we're preserved in the person of Jesus Christ, not in our own works. If I'm preserved in my own works, I'm saved today and lost tomorrow. Because one day I have faith and one day I don't. One day I got a little hope, one day I got a lot of hope. I'm fickle, but God isn't. Amen. He's a God that loves his people from everlasting to everlasting. He is God and he loves his people and he doesn't change his mind. I am God, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. God's not going to change his mind concerning who he loved before the world began, who he gave to Christ before the world began, who Christ died for. He's not changing his mind. And this miracle was permanent, wasn't it? He didn't say, "Well, you know, go home and take 3 aspirins and I hope you'll feel better and you don't get sick tomorrow and be sick again." My friends, our salvation is permanent. We don't have to take 3 aspirins to keep it. It's kept by the blood of Jesus Christ, through the blood of the everlasting covenant. And the healing of this man was permanent and forever until he died a natural death. And so is our salvation. So in conclusion today, I appreciate you all tuning in to this message, being in God's house today, being able to talk about the scriptures, hopefully in giving you some encouragement and some hope in your personal life. If all you have is just a little bit of hope, you got something. Amen. You got more than the infidel has. You got more than the unbeliever has. You got something, because that little bit of hope ties you to God. And we pray that it'll give us the strength to go on for tomorrow. May God add his blessings to each one of you is our prayer.
Thank you for visiting Harmony Primitive Baptist Church. This has been Elder Neil Phelan, Jr. preaching from regular Sunday morning services.